This is Heather Vickery. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Brave Files podcast. Women are often told to expect their life to be drastically different once they become mothers. But I've discovered that fathers don't always have that experience. In a world where working hard for gender diversity is important, and that's a world I want to live in, we need to understand that we have to prep everybody and support and train our boys and men just like we do our girls and women. There's a difference between how something looks on paper versus how it plays out in real life. In your head, you might know all the tips and tricks to handle a situation, but still feel completely helpless when that thing actually happens. Today's guest is Eli Weinstein. He's a social worker who began to experience tremendous anxiety after his daughter's birth. Eli was wholly unprepared for this experience despite his professional training, and it has led him to helping other men in ways that no one has ever supported or helped them before, and in ways that he didn't get the support and help that he needed. This week, we talked to him about the transition from talking the talk to walking the walk. Before we start, though, I want to share with you something that I'm super, super excited about. Registration is now open for the Brave Method Workshop. This is a hands-on intensive workshop. It's completely free, and it's for anyone who's ready to take the brave leap personally or professionally. In this interactive and engaging workshop, I teach my Brave Method, which is the coaching platform that I've used to support hundreds of clients. If you're ready to make 2021 the year, then please join us. The workshop actually starts on December 8th, and you're going to see an entire community of people who are showing up, learning, and getting into action right there on the spot, and you can be one of those people. So visit www.vickeryandco.com to register, and I look forward to seeing you there.
Curious, silly, and energetic.
This is Heather Vickery, and you're listening to The Brave Files, stories from people living courageously. When we choose bravely in big and small ways, it powerfully elevates our lives. I hope these stories connect with you and encourage you to embrace bravery in every possible way, day after day. Together, we can build a movement of courageous living that enriches both our lives and our communities. And if you enjoy the show, I ask you to please share it with others. Maybe think of someone who you want to choose bravely right alongside you. Thanks for tuning in. Now here's the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Brave Files podcast. This is your host, Heather Vickery. I am delighted to have you here with me today. And I am welcoming our guest, Eli Weinstein, to the show. He is a social work therapist who has been dealing with his own men's issues and now wants to help others do the same, along with a lot of other things. He's a really fun guy. I promise we're going to dig in on what these issues are, and it's going to be a really fun conversation. So, Eli, welcome to the Brave Files.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Really looking forward to this. You've been so sweet. You're a fan of the show, which is so lovely to see. Mm-hmm. So thanks for all the support you've given us throughout the last few months.
No problem.
All right. So I'm just going to get right to the meat of this. We have a lot of women who listen to this show, and they're probably scratching their heads right now and thinking, men's issues. Like, it's pretty damn easy to be a man, especially a white man in the United States, at least. So we all know that no human is without struggle. But I'd like to find out, you know, what these issues specifically are and what led you to doing this kind of work.
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, like, oh, men having issues, what's that? But a few of the main issues that I struggle with, and I've noticed that a lot of people in my circles and men that I've worked with as a therapist and men that I've just come in contact with are struggling with the idea of either body image issues, anxiety, being a father, being a husband. And I've noticed that when I was going through my own struggles, there was not a lot of support for that aspect. And I felt, hey, this is a great opportunity. Yeah. Let's get on this.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. There is not a lot of support. So body issues is something we very often do not ever associate with men. Can you dig in on that a little bit?
Sure. You know, as a kid, let's say for my sake, I was a very, very skinny, underweight kid. And to me, that was kind of a good thing. But I was always told, oh, you're too skinny, you're too skinny, you're too skinny. When I started gaining weight or filling out when I went through puberty and I hit like a plateau, you know, most guys, what do? To like feel good about themselves? They work out, pump iron, you know, mm-hmm. lift weights to show off or to put on this facade of I am awesome or I am great. And when you get heavy or you gain weight or don't fit in your clothes, it makes you feel inadequate. It makes you feel awkward. It makes you feel weird, out of place, that you are not manly enough. A lot of guys go through that, you know, that body of looking in the mirror and saying, oh, look at that fat. Oh, look at this. Why is this so heavy? Why are my muscles not so strong? And, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds exactly like the story that every woman I've ever met has experienced as well. We're not thin enough. We're not healthy enough. We're not tall enough. We're not, you know, our boobs are too big. Our boobs are too small. it doesn't matter. So what I'm hearing you say is this is really a human issue. And it's important to remember that in some way, everybody experiences this kind of feeling.
Yeah. Most humans want to look or feel good about themselves.
Right. But of course, that's so subjective, Eli. Yeah. Like, society has decided what should make us feel good about ourselves.
Very true. You know, if you look at the models or the fashion world and you look at what the classic or I'm putting my hands in quotes, but classic or ideal body type or normal body type. That's why I love the direction that I think society is going now, whether it's Barbie making curvy or different races and ethnicities of Barbie, that it's not just a blonde, blue-eyed,
thank goodness,
drop-dead, gorgeous, you know, ideal, beautiful body.
Inappropriate. Like she couldn't. Yeah. I think there's been some proof that Barbie couldn't actually stand up straight. Like you cannot have a waist that small and a chest that large and stand up.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's not ideal. And then there are people who have had to have plastic surgery to look like that in the past. There are like crazy stories of women getting plastic surgery just to be the perfect Barbie. And then you also have now different men's body types and sizes and, mm-hmm. and clothes mm-hmm. and stores specifically for different body types. It's not just the, classic ideal body type. So yeah. I think it's great.
Yeah. That's really fascinating. I appreciate you bringing that to awareness, especially for anybody listening who's raising male identified children. You know, don't make assumptions that they aren't having these same struggles that a female identified child might have, right?
Yeah.
So be sensitive about the way you're talking about others and about yourself and your children in your home, because they're listening, they're paying attention. Let's talk about what kinds of things did you experience when you became a new parent? This was really kind of a shocking experience for you, not just new to parenthood, but all the stuff that came with it, right?
Yeah. When I became a new dad about close to 8 months ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you. My beautiful daughter, her name is Ricky. She's wonderful. And my wife did an amazing job and continues to do an amazing job every day with my daughter. I had this sense of restlessness and being on edge and worrying about every little noise she made every night. I was checking in on her to make sure she was alive. It was this overwhelming feeling of despair and worry. And I had my first panic attack in my life. In the middle of the night, I thought I was going to die. It was the scariest feeling I've ever had. And it's actually funny because I'm a therapist. I work with people who have panic attacks. I work with people with anxiety. Yeah. And one, it gives me a better perspective on what they go through. And two, it scared the living daylights out of me. And I was like, oh, okay, this is what it's like. And it was a very eye-opening experience that has taught me a lot about myself and about anxiety in general.
Absolutely. And that is such a tremendous feeling we get as parents, like, oh my gosh, my funny story. When I had my oldest, I have four kids. When I had my oldest daughter, like everybody and their brother was in the room. It was mm-hmm. ridiculous. My then spouse, my two best friends, my mom, at one point my mother-in-law, like everybody was there. And it was stressful and my delivery was really difficult. And the baby was born and they took her right away because she'd had a heartbeat situation. When they finally put her in my arms, which was not until like 15 or 20 minutes after she was born, which is too long, by the way. You're like, hello, yeah. I just did all this work. Give me my kid. I looked at her and I had this overwhelming sense. I looked up at my mother and I said, oh my God, now I know why you're crazy. And she looked at me like, what do you mean? And I'm like, no, really. Like, I would shove another human in front of a bus for this tiny being. Mm-hmm. I would do all sorts of things that are completely crazy for this person. And you would do that for me. And that's insane. But now I get it. Yeah. Now I know why you're like that.
100%. 100%.
But you can't understand that until the kid is yours.
No, you know, I have a two nieces and a nephew, and of course, I fell in love with them and I adore them, but I don't have that same sense of protection and that idea of what you just said of I would kill someone for this little thing.
Right. And you like legitimately would.
I would.
Yeah. Wow. It's such a weird feeling. So the resources weren't available to you as a new dad. The feelings that you were feeling, were they hard for you to identify, even though you're a therapist? Because was it like not manly enough to be going through those emotions? Like what was the so particularly difficult about that? I mean, obviously the feelings themselves were difficult, but
the feelings themselves were difficult. But the feeling that I felt was I felt ashamed that, you know, everyone talks about postpartum depression and postpartum issues for the woman who gives birth or whoever is dealing with that change.
And, which is important. And that's a chemical thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you know, I'm always checking my wife. Are you okay? Is everything okay? How are you feeling? You know, I know the signs. I know the symptoms. I'm a therapist. I'm so focusing on her that I didn't notice it in myself. And when I finally noticed the issues, I felt so low that, one, I let it get that far. And two, that, hey, I'm a therapist. I know these things. Why can't I get
better.
Over it?
Yeah.
Like, I know how, I know the breathing techniques. I know all the tricks and the tools. And that was where the shame came from. It wasn't the fact that I was a guy. It was the fact that I was a therapist. And on top of that, when I was looking for support online or support groups or social media outlets like Instagram and Facebook for people talking about this, there was one or two people that were talking about this. And I started posting about my struggles as a new dad, the feeling of maybe not, it's hard to say. I'm in total in love with my daughter now, but that feeling my wife had this automatic connection with my daughter. And I didn't. And I felt so left out and it was so hard for me. And I didn't see that representation. So I started posting about it and I got so many messages from guys that I know. Oh my goodness, you go through this too? Thank you for putting that into words. I never thought of it that way. And it made me realize that I'm not the only one that's doing this and feeling this way and going through these emotions, and it needs to be talked about more.
It does. And I really appreciate that. It's true for women who birth their children. And I think this is unique to women who carry their own children. We understand there are a lot of ways to have a family. The moment you find out you're pregnant, everything changes. The way you feel, obviously, the way you eat, the way you sleep, everything in your life is instantly shifted. And for the other parent, or for even for parents who adopt, I think it doesn't happen. You don't have that 9 months to do that. And so there is that space between bonding. I remember my ex telling me that it didn't hit him like what a big overwhelming responsibility this was and like what a big deal it was until he went to get the car to pull it up to take us home. He was like, I was walking to the parking garage and I'm like, oh, holy shit. What just happened?
Yeah.
So there's a lot to that. And that's a really wonderful thing to be talking about for any parent who isn't the childbearing parent, because there you are going to have to find different ways to connect, right? Yeah. So you started posting about this, Eli, and you've done some pretty cool things. Tell us about like how you're helping other people, you know, talk about these things and work through them and sort of change the global dialogue on it.
I'm just trying to reach out to more people, connect with people like yourself who do an amazing job and have wonderful platforms, and just try to talk about it. That's all I'm trying to do, is just talk about it, whether it's a cute post, whether it's a real post, serious post, sad post. Just put it out there, and if someone, it happens to help one person or two people or as many people as it can, that makes me very happy, because I know that people are going through this issue and it needs to be discussed. Whether anything comes out of it, great or not, it's all wonderful and all good just to help one person. And, you know, it's just, it's a journey. It's a real big journey.
Yeah, it is a really big journey. So what are the formats? Where can folks get in on this conversation with you? Or if they want to reach out to you, where are you talking to people?
So I'm talking to people on Instagram at elevation_LMSW. I'm talking to people if they want to bring me out and hire me to speak. That's cool too. But that doesn't always happen as much. And sometimes people message me on Facebook, through my website, all those different ways people are reaching out to me and just talking to me about it. I remember when I started discussing certain things with actually getting pregnant with IVF, a few people reached out to me. Mm. Oh my goodness, I have 5 friends who are struggling with infertility. Can they reach out to you? And the answer to me is of course, whenever they're ready, if they ever want to, I'm always there. So that's what I'm trying to do a little bit more.
Yeah, I love that. That's really cool. As you've gone through these things and experienced them yourself and then started to talk publicly about it, what would you identify as sort of the biggest struggle?
I would say the biggest struggle for me is getting that out, the message out there bigger and stronger and reaching more people and letting the topic be something to be talked about, not just from my perspective, from more people's perspective.
Yeah.
Whether it's moms or dads, because you know what? There are so many parenting things out there. Parenting is hard.
It is.
It is hard.
It's a lot of responsibility
too,
right?
Responsibility.
Like, you don't want to fuck this up.
Yeah, because it's a child, and they can't, like, my baby cannot do things on her own, you know? And when she can, she still needs our help. And that's wonderful. That's the beautiful part of life. And parenting is magical and amazing, but it's tough. So there are so many things on parenting and so many support groups. You know, being a father is very hard. Being a human is hard. So just having discussions about it and just talking about it more and having other people talk about it is the best thing possible.
Yeah, I love that. If you were to identify, you know, kind of a pleasant surprise or silver lining from going through these challenging things for yourself, what would they be?
Oh, wow. It would be that I'm a lot stronger than I thought I was.
Yeah.
I have learned to be a better person, a better man, a better husband, and just all around different perspective on life, the way I look at politics, the way I look at the world, the way I look at everything that comes my way is totally changed based on those experiences that I've gone through and has really impacted, I hope, myself for the future. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. We can do hard things.
Yeah, we can.
And I remind my clients and my children all the time, not only can you do hard things, you are doing them. You're doing them right now.
Yep.
Because life is complicated. It's hard. So what I love so much about what you're doing is we're really, I think, as a society, moving away, hopefully more rapidly even than I realized, from a very toxic masculine society, which is dangerous to everybody. It's mm-hmm. dangerous to male identifying people. Mm-hmm. It's dangerous to female identifying people, right? Because the fallout from that is just tremendous across the board. And the work that you're doing, these conversations that you're having, are showing A, everyone is human, everyone struggles, and that's okay. So does it feel brave to be doing this?
At sometimes it really does. The thing that I find brave for myself is the idea of the vulnerability of showing this classic idea of masculinity, of being the man, being strong, being powerful, being whatever words you want to put to people who identify as men, that classic old school mentality. I'm trying to break that idea, because being human is strong. Being human is powerful. But men are allowed to be vulnerable, just like women are allowed to be muscular and strong. There's no set rules. And I think that back in the day, men crying or men showing their emotions or even having this discussion about this stuff, how dare they? How dare you talk about that? You know, you're not part of the cool group anymore. You're not accepted amongst men because, oh my gosh, they cried. You know, I cry a lot. I watch wonderful movies. It brings tears to my eyes. Something sad happens, you cry. It's okay.
Absolutely. I read this years ago. One of my favorite books is The Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, she's amazing. And she really hits on something in that book that I think speaks to what you just said, which is we say as a society, now listen, I'm a lesbian, so it doesn't really count, but we say as a society that we want our men to be sensitive and vulnerable, but we do not always treat them with kindness and respect then when they behave that way. So there is a whole cultural shift that needs to happen. But it's like anything else that we're trying actively to grow out of and to change.
Yeah.
We just have to talk about it over and over and over again to take away the stigmas, right?
Yeah. And it was like that, not to make light of this, but in a Friends episode when Rachel wants Bruce Willis to open up and he's a strong, tough guy. And all of a sudden he opens up and he can't stop crying. And then she gets scared by that. Even though I know it's a sitcom and I know it's not real life, but you know, you want your man or you want your woman to be a certain way. You have expectations of your partner and spouse. And when they finally hit that expectation, sometimes people aren't ready for that reality.
Absolutely.
And that change.
Absolutely. Hilarious. No, that's true. It's funny. So, are you still regularly experiencing bouts of anxiety attacks and panic attacks and stuff?
No, thank God I'm not. I'm like doing so much better. I got help that I needed. I needed some objective perspective, went to therapy for a little bit, and was able to kind of get control over it. It doesn't mean that I am perfect every day. I'm never perfect, but it means that I have a little bit more control over my emotional stability regarding letting my stuff get to me a little.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you have any tips if we do have some men or even women who are listening, how, like, some quick go-tos to maybe feel a little bit more calm and in control when things feel out of control?
Yeah. So the one thing, a few things, but the first thing is you cannot die from anxiety. That's like the
scary. It does feel like it though, doesn't it?
100%. Your body is telling you you're dying because your body's pumping adrenaline and you're on edge and you're just at a breaking point. But no one has died from anxiety alone. It has caused people to go to the hospital because they think they're having a heart attack or a stroke, but no one has died from anxiety by itself. So if you take a perspective and take a step back and say, I'm not dying, let me just take a deep breath. And it's also about controlling your breathing. I remember when I called the EMTs because I thought I was dying at 2 o'clock in the morning. The guy said to me, he said, your rate of breath and breathing is 30 per minute. You need to be breathing at 15. I didn't even realize.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I was breathing so quickly. So slow down. Take a deep breath. You know you. You're the only person that knows what helps you. If it means taking a walk, watching a funny TV show, listening to some classical music, cooking, whatever, having a cold glass of water or tea, whatever is something that is calming for you, go right away to it. Don't let it get to the point where it's boiling over. Catch it before it gets to that point.
That's great. That's great advice. And I know it's difficult to put into play in the moment, but maybe write it out somewhere, have it somewhere you can easily access and help yourself through that. Do you have any particular daily grounding rituals or anything that sort of help you stay in a better headspace?
Yeah. So I am a religious Jew. I'm not an Orthodox religious Jew. So I pray. I try to pray 3 times a day. It doesn't always work. But I try to put prayer/meditation into my daily routine to have a moment to myself, whether it's 5, 10, 15 minutes, however long it takes me, every day, at least once a day, to reflect and prepare myself for the day. I know I can rely on that as a way to kind of keep me in that moment to make the most of whatever I have dealt with the day before and what is going to come that day.
Yeah. I love that. And you don't have to be a religious person to take that time in solitude to reflect, to just sit in quiet. It's a great time to do a gratitude practice. Do you have a gratitude practice?
I do. I do. I add that into my prayers as well. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. So y'all can do that. Those are wonderful tips. Eli, I'd love to hear when things are going well, big wins or small wins, how do you like to celebrate?
I like to either go out with my wife and have a nice dinner or something, or a date night, make myself a nice meal, or pig out a little bit, you know, and have my, you know, cheat stuff, you know, whether it's, you know, ice cream or a nice piece of cake or something. I don't know, whatever floats my boat. And sometimes I like to buy clothes to make myself feel good about myself. Sure. That I'm doing great, you know?
Yeah. I mean, those are all awesome ways to celebrate. They're bigger ones. Do you have any celebration moments for like kind of small things? I think the small things are the big things, but where it maybe isn't so notable that you're like, wow, that was amazing. Let's go out to dinner, or I'm going to go treat myself to X. Yeah. But just through the day when things make you feel good or you've accomplished something, do you stop and acknowledge them?
100%. It's like a very small, quick, beautiful moment of like, yes, I did that, or go you, or those little moments of this clarity or feeling that overtakes your body of excitement, energy, and wonder that I really take notice. And it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I think it is. And I do believe, based on all the people that I've worked with and all the people that I've talked to, that folks who take the time to do that tend to have a slightly better handle on anxiety and just, you know, they're more intuitive. They slow down and just pay attention to what's happening. And we have a more realistic view of the truth when we do that.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool. Eli, I'd love to hear from you. What is your favorite charitable organization to support?
So I love to give money to any organization. Specifically, it's called either HASC or Yachad. It's a Jewish organization that deals with people suffering from mental and physical disabilities.
Cool.
It is something that I am very passionate about. My wife was involved with organizations like that in the past. And these organizations give them opportunities that everyone deserves and lets them have a life that is as wonderful as it can be.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. So listeners, as always, I'm going to ask you to get to know them. We'll put their link in the show notes. They'll be charity of the week for us. And whatever you can give, whether that's time or money, social media likes and shares, whatever that is, let's do that. Let's come together. This is my call to you. Let's come together as a global community to lift each other up and support each other. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Eli.
No problem.
Will you share your three words with us one last time?
Curious, silly, and energetic.
Those are fun words, and they aren't the words I would have expected from you. I don't know what I would have expected, but they're really fun and light. And can you tell us a little bit about why you chose those words?
All my life, I've been a curious child. I like to take things apart and see how they work. I like to know what goes into making something happen. I love reading. I love searching. And
me too.
You know, just finding. And I am a pretty silly person. I like to joke around. Doesn't mean I'm not serious. Like with my daughter, I'll dance and do the wackiest things just to make her smile. Even with my wife and my family or friends, it's just something that I value about myself. And the energetic piece is that, you know, friends tell me that I could talk to a wall if I need be. Like I have this just...
That's awesome. Energy.
Like that's just one of my talents. If they put a face on a wall, I could last for hours just talking to the wall because I have this energy that is welcoming, loving, and caring. That is something that has always been something that I've always done.
That's so cool. Yeah. And how do you bring silliness into the work that you're doing?
Sometimes it is hard, but I like to be jokey about real things. And
it just makes it more digestible,
exactly,
doesn't it?
And not take life so seriously. Yes, you know, anxiety is scary. Yes. Issues that we struggle with are hard. Mental health is serious. But when you look at it in a little, I guess, silly perspective once in a while, it kind of makes you take a step back and notice what's going on. And I do my best. That doesn't always happen. But it also depends on the situation. But sometimes you got to add a little silliness to have a good time.
Absolutely. I love it. I love to have a good time and play and be silly too. So that's awesome. Well, Eli, thank you so much for taking the time to be here and tell us about what's important to you and how you're helping to change the dialogue and pull away shame and stigma around all of these issues. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It was wonderful.
So listeners, you know, it's important to remember that nobody's life is perfect and nobody has it all figured out. And let's just move forward and be kind to one another and understand that we cannot really understand or imagine somebody else's journey. And so let's listen and let's have really great conversations and give everybody the benefit of the doubt. If you enjoyed this episode, if you want to tell me about it, if you have something else you want to see, I would love for you to call me. I listen to these voicemails by myself and I respond to every single one. So give me a call at 312-646-0205. Let me know what you love about the show. If there's something else you'd like to see, just give me a call. I would love to hear from you. And also, if you have not already become a member of our Patreon page, I hope that you will take a moment right now and go and check it out. All you have to do is visit patreon.com/bravefiles and find a tier that works for you. They start at $4 and then help us do these really cool things. This show, as wonderful as it is, costs a lot of money and it takes a lot of time, and we could really use the support, and having you part of our Brave movement would be incredible. This is such a fun show to do. I'm so happy to have you here. It was such a great conversation with Eli. I hope you're going to go out and have a wonderful rest of the week. This is Heather Vickery reminding you today and always to go out and choose bravely. Hey friends, I want to share something really exciting with you. We already know you enjoy listening to podcasts because you're listening to this one, but I'm also betting you enjoy audiobooks. And hey, listen, if you don't already enjoy audiobooks, then it's time to check them out. That's why I'm really excited to share Libro.fm with you. They are an incredible new platform for listening to audiobooks. And by choosing Libro.fm over other audiobook services, you are supporting a local bookstore of your choice and investing in your local community. Libro.fm offers over 150,000 audiobooks via their primary platform, which, by the way, they built with love and from scratch because they're a small business also. They even offer bookseller recommendations for great audiobook options. You can sign up right now via www.vickeryandco.com/librofm. That's vickeryandco.com/librofm. And when you do, you'll get one free audiobook of your choice, and the proceeds will go to your favorite local bookstore. Now, check what I just said there. You're going to get a free book, and the proceeds are still going to go to your local bookstore because Libro.fm makes sure that their booksellers get paid even when they give a promo to customers. I've listened to over 20 audiobooks this year alone. I especially love listening to memoirs read by the author, and it feels great knowing that all of my purchases support my local bookstore, The Book Table, in Oak Park, Illinois. Libro.fm. The same audiobooks, the same price, but a completely different story. Check them out right now at vickeryandco.com/librofm. Have you ever thought about starting a podcast? Maybe you've had this thought and then quickly shut it down because who has the time? Or you don't know how, or gosh, it just all seems too hard. If you have something to share with the world, we want to encourage you to get your message out. The world needs to hear it. Did you know that 50% of all homes are podcast fans? If you've ever wondered about having your own podcast or how it can increase your business or get your message across, then please join me and the other experts from the Podcast Power Academy for our monthly free Q&A session. It's called So You Want to Start a Podcast? This casual live conversation will help you understand how podcasting can be a great decision, why now is the best time to get started, and how to get into action with it. Visit podcastpoweracademy.com to learn more. You've been listening to The Brave Files, stories of people living courageously. To learn more about the show, find our show notes and full episode transcripts, or to get some great bonus content, visit thebravefilespodcast.com. and we would love to know what you think of the show. You can give us a call at 312-646-0205. Let us know your thoughts on the episode, the show in general, or maybe share with us how you're out choosing bravely. This episode is brought to you by Vickery and Co. Success Coaching. Coaching that helps you maintain a life well-lived and a business well-run. Learn more at vickeryandco.com. Our music was created and produced in a custom collaboration with Matt Lewis from ML Creative Consulting, a boutique firm dedicated to helping clients identify their unique sound and amplify their brand with custom delivered soundtracks. We couldn't do any of this without our extraordinary audio engineer, Andrew Olson. Learn more about him and check out his work at findandrewolson.com. And special thanks to everyone on Team Brave, from our producers, associate producers, copy editors, writers, and support team. Special thanks to Molly, Mary, Kim, Sabra, and Sabrina. I'm your host and executive producer, Heather Vickery. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week.